him about this. But this morning, Brad, why don't you come? Come on up here, brother. This guy's got a story to tell. So let's pray for him as he comes this morning. And listen to this great story that he's going to share with us this morning. Don't mean to put you on the spot, buddy.
I really don't know where to start. For anyone that doesn't know me, my dad pastors a church down in Russell, Kentucky, the area I'm from. Raised in church my whole life, 3 services a week, just like this one. Went to an altar when I was around 8 years old, was baptized. Called myself a Christian for most of my life, believed I was. Taught Sunday school.
Bless you, brother.
And then, I don't know, around 20, 21, started hanging out with the wrong crowd, smoking dope, drinking. I mean, anything you can think of, I did it. Started out fun and games, curiosity, and it just became a lifestyle. Over the years, I cleaned myself up a couple of times. When I met Caitlin, I knew I wanted to marry her. I stopped doing a lot of those things. Started coming here. That's when I met Tara and Roger and a lot of you all. I work 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., and I hate that schedule. I really struggle to sleep on that schedule. I've been awake 30 hours at a time, 40 hours at a time. I feel like I'm losing my mind. And so that's why we stopped coming here, because most of the time, I never knew when I was going to be asleep. And over the last few years, that depression just turned into anger. I didn't understand, because I was Baptist, stood for the King James Bible. I had sound theology, at least I thought I did. It just didn't make sense to me. If I'm doing all these things right for God, why am I stuck on this lousy schedule? I can't sleep. I can't hang out with my kids. I can't enjoy time with my wife. Just that anger, it just consumed me. I tried. I got to the point I was willing to try anything to make it go away. I started drinking again. Of course, that wears off. I'd just be even angrier. It's like, God, you're not going to help me. Give me a job. At least let me sin and be happy. I mean, it doesn't make sense. That's just kind of how I thought. I got to the point I thought about killing myself. So I just thought that was the only escape, you know. I wasn't a good husband. I wasn't a good father. I know I'm a walking hypocrite. Probably too far gone. Because I started taking God's name in vain too. In a weird way, it made me feel better at the time, you know, like I'll get him back that way, you know. It's foolish, but at the time that's how blind I was by sin. So anyway, that was my life the last few years. Drinking, cussing, thinking about killing myself. Guilty, shame. And on January 13th, I was washing my hands, looked in the mirror, and this just sudden fear just came on me. You know, I'm cussing the very one who has power to destroy body and soul in hell. Just like a what are you doing type moment, you know. And so I was the only one awake. It was like 4 in the morning. So I kneeled down and started praying, crying. And like Tara said, I didn't have that relief, you know. And so that scared me. I thought, maybe I've blasphemed the Holy Spirit and it's too late. You know, I've crossed the line, and no matter what I do, I'm just going to go to hell no matter what. So I just prayed and prayed and cried and cried. I'd read the Bible, listen to sermons, listen to gospel music. And this lasted about 10 days, you know, just I could not get that peace, and I was scared out of my mind, you know, what am I supposed to do? And I was sitting at work, been reading my Bible, praying, and I read a verse, I think it's in Revelation, talked about the fearful. It was a long list of all these sins that'll be cast in the lake of fire, and the fearful was one of them. And I don't know, I just kind of realized that even though I had stopped blaspheming God's name, there was part of me that still felt like that sin couldn't be forgiven, like I needed to still be punished somehow. In other words, I still really wasn't believing the blood of Jesus Christ could forgive that sin. And as soon as I realized that, I just bowed my head and I said, God, forgive me. And just that all that guilt was just lifted immediately, you know. And I knew right then, you know, I wanted to be baptized. So I called my dad, Jason Plummer, the two preachers I heard the most growing up, told them what was going on. And February 6th, I went down and got baptized and got to share my testimony. And I could spend all day describing the changes in me. You can ask my wife. I'm a different person. All that hate and anger is gone. That hostility I had towards God is gone. Just my whole life, all I wanted to do was win arguments. I was so conceited. I wanted to study the Bible just to go argue with people. And looking back, I realized I thought if I could prove I know more about the Bible than you, then that justified my sins, you know. And just the arrogance I felt, I cannot believe I didn't sense it back then. But I'm so glad God revealed it to me and granted me repentance, you know. And I was so scared to share that video because I didn't want to confuse anybody. You know, I mean, most people thought that I was living right, but I wasn't. But I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful. Just pray for me. I don't hate my job anymore. I see there is a blessing in it. My wife doesn't have to work. She can stay home with our boys. They're all in therapy. The insurance is good, but I'd rather be in church. So y'all just pray for me.
What a powerful testimony. Powerful testimony. And thankful that God revealed to him that he needed more than just religion. And we're so thankful for him. And I can thankful for his mom and dad. And his dad has preached here. His mom has sung here for us. And when I saw the and heard the video, I could hear his mother. And it's wonderful to hear good, godly women praising the Lord for what God has done for their children. In the book of Mark is where I'll be reading at today, and it goes right with this, our thought. I thought I would be preaching something different this morning, but this is where God has rested my heart, that this is where we should be. So you pray for us for the time that we are trying to stand today. Book of Mark, the 10th chapter. Go with me, if you would, down to verses 13 through 16. 13 through 16. Scripture says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you that whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And stop reading there with verse 16. This morning, I'd like to bring to you a message entitled, Bringing Our Children to God. Bringing Our Children to God. One of the most needful things that we have today is for our children to be brought up in the fear and admonition of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. More needful than anything else in this world is for them to have something that is more real than life itself. To have a Savior, as we heard Brad testify, that is not just with us part-time, but he's with us all the time. Amen. That no matter where we go, no matter how far from home we may stray, God knows exactly where you're at. He knows your heart's desire, and he knows everything about you today. When we read this, these parents that brought these young children to the Lord did it for a purpose. Did it for a purpose. Because this was tradition going all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to Moses and to the prophets, that parents would bring their children to them and ask that they be blessed, that they would pray over them and bless them so that their life would be better. How many of us today know that our children need a blessing and prayer more than anything else? They need it more than an education, and I believe in education, don't get me wrong. They need it more than a career. They need it more than any carnal thing that you could talk about today. Is for us to bring our children to God and ask God to pray over them and to bless them. We live in a time that our children aren't being blessed. Many of us grew up in an era of time that we had it harder than what our kids today have it in so many different ways. But one thing we had is that we had a church and elders that prayed over us. Would to God that we would pray over our children and our grandchildren today. The elders would bless them and speak good over their life. And it says that they brought young children to him. And my mind began to reflect back on what the Bible calls as children. See, up until you was 20 years of old age and no under, until you reached 20 years old, you wasn't even qualified to fight in a battle. You were still considered a child. And you couldn't even be a priest until you was 30 years of age. But many of us today, not only just 20-year-old, how many of you got some 20-year-olds that need a blessing over them? How many of us have got some that's younger than 20 that need a blessing over them this morning? And I've come to preach to you today, some of us have got children that are 40s, 50-year-old, maybe even some this morning got some that's in their 60s. That need a blessing said over their life. The world is not going to bless them. The world will curse them. If there's a blessing to be given, it has to be from the people of God in the house of God. That we would speak a blessing over our loved ones another time. And just like the apostles were, the disciples were, that when they brought, parents brought these young children to the Lord, they rebuked those that brought them. They probably thought that he's got more important things to do, Charlie. There's bigger things that need his attention than these little children. Brad or Caitlin, one said to me this morning that when I comment about them having their youngest, said that he would probably be running the aisle or crawling up the aisle while we was preaching. And I said, that's all right. You know what we've done? We've taken children out of the service. And this is where they need to be. That they would hear words about God and about Jesus and the Holy Spirit that would permeate their soul. That when times get hard, that they would have something that they could draw from in their youth. Brad testified about his life when he was young and how that he went forth. But the true test is when hard times come. And many of our young people today are going through very hard times. Lisa spoke in her prayer request about that on Wednesday night. We're living in a time today that our children are facing things that we never faced. And yes, some of us will say, I had a rough childhood. But even in the roughness that we went through, we still had parents that loved us, and we still had a church that loved us. People of God that spoke good things over our life, even though they may have never said it in an audible voice. But we see that our children today are in a world where sin is raging rampant. It has never been as bad as it is right now. Alcoholism, drug abuse, bullying that takes place that Lisa spoke about on Wednesday night. The things that they face today is unlike any time in the history of our country, where they're going through times of depression, as Brad talked about, and as some of you have talked about and testifying and requesting prayer for your children. Depression is at an all-time high. And it's not just with young children. It's with middle-aged children and with older children. And even some of us as adults, that depression is an enemy that comes to try to tear us down. Lose our self-esteem. Lose our confidence. Lose our hope today. And even to the point, and I didn't know Brad was going to say tell us about that and how it aligns with our message this morning, but even at the times that we think that our life is worthless, that's what our children are going through today. Their confidence has been destroyed. You know, I try to build up our young people. I try to build up our young children in the house of the Lord, and even our grandchildren, because they live in a society that they don't fit in. We don't fit in. And many are being pushed into the sports arena and to try to burn off some of that energy. But what they find out is there's no relief there either. And can I put this in? I saw a statistic this week that less than 0.5% of all athletes make it to the pro level. So mom and dads, don't push your kids into things that they don't want to do in the sports arena, because all it does will cause a resistance to come in. And they'll not like what's going on in their life. We live in a time when competition is so stern. Even for the little things, we see that this competition is there. But the biggest thing that I find today, why our kids need to be blessed and need to be brought to God, is because in our world, God has been minimized. He has been made so small that there is nowhere that you can go to find what you're looking for. Even God don't have it. But I've come to put us on notice this morning. God has everything that our children and our young adults and our adults need in their life today is to know Jesus Christ in a free pardon of sin. And no matter what happens in the world, as long as I've got Jesus, everything is all right. Amen. I have a note. I don't get rid of things too easily. But I have a note that was given to me months, maybe years ago now that I've kept here behind the pulpit. And you can see that it was written by a child. Even children know when they've been taught that God is God. And besides Him, there is none other. They know that God is the real thing that they need in their life. This might have been one of Lisa's grandkids that gave this to me. And she wrote out, God is great. He is really great. Greater than great. He is the creator. He created you and me. You are loved even when you don't feel like it. We are loved today. And children need to know that they are loved more than anything else. They, not just our children today, but if nobody else loves me, there is a God in heaven that loved me so much that He allowed His darling Son to die on the cross for my sins and for your sins. See, what God comes to build up, Satan comes to destroy. Our children today, the things that they have to go through that Satan tries to belittle them, make them feel like they're insignificant and that they're not good enough, they're not smart enough, they're not intelligent enough, that they just don't have it all together. And many of us today, we don't have any talent that separates us from the rest of the world. But if only they could get a dose of salvation, they would have something down on the inside that no matter what the world says, no matter what the world does, they know that there is a better day coming than what we have here in this world. Satan wants to destroy them. He wants them to take that pill. He wants them to have that bottle. And he'll even lead them to the point to where they will contemplate even taking their lives. And church, let me preach to you this morning. This is not just Roger's thoughts. This is America problem that we have today. So many of our young people think their life is useless, that they're failures, that they'll never amount to anything, because that's how Satan works. But can I tell you, there's a church and there is a God that wants to lift our children up high enough to tell them no matter what the world says about you, you are loved beyond comparison. That there is somebody who loves you more than mom and dad. That there's somebody who will do things in your life. Even though we go back to our forefathers, many of them, Charlie, didn't even have an eighth grade education, but God took them and exalted them to places that many of our children today, if they are not told about Jesus Christ, they will die and go to a devil's hell for all eternity. But praise God, somebody loved me enough to take me to church. In fact, it says that they brought them to where Jesus was at. Many of us say that we were drugged to where Jesus was at because we was there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and we even had church on Saturday night. Somebody loved us enough to take us to a house of God. This is not a house of hate. This is a house of love. Jesus, God loves sinners, and He wants to save them all. But if we don't get our children blessed, folks, they are headed down a broad road and a road that will bring much despair and much trouble. Yes, I've had trouble and trials in my life. But one thing about it, Sister Sharon, I know that I've got a friend who walks beside me every step of the way. Even when I feel, how many of us, even as adults, sometimes we feel like failures, do we not? I'm a failure as a husband. I'm a failure as a father. I'm a failure as a pastor and as a preacher. But then there's something that comes from the inside. I feel like the profitable bold. When I feel like giving up, then I feel a fire that's burning down below the collarbone that says, carry on, son. Carry on another mile, because another soul needs to hear about the love of God and that they are blessed today. Our children are a blessing and not a curse.
Amen.
Amen. They're a blessing. And they brought them to where Jesus was at. And can you see this today? I believe any mom and dad that loves their children will try to get their children to where God is at. They love them enough to take them to where Jesus was at. Many of them may have traveled miles to get them children to where Jesus was at. Only to get there and the disciples to speak evil of them. Speak bad and rebuke them. Why did you bring these children to the Lord? But then, Charlie, Jesus spoke up. Forbid them not. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Bring them, not just one, but bring them all. Bring every one of them. And today, I'm thankful that we've got several young people in the house this morning. And you know what I do? Not because I'm anybody, but I am a servant of God. You know what I do? Not just for these that are present, but for those that aren't present. Some of them that are just weeks old, and some of them today that are up in years. Church, we ought to speak a blessing over them and say, God, would you watch over them? I know the world is rough. I know the times are hard. But God, we have a book that you brought people through worse things than what we're going through right now in this hour. And if you was able to do it for them, how many of you know God's arm's not shortened? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. His arm is not shortened, nor is his ear stopped that he cannot hear the cries and the blessings upon these children. And Lisa, it has stayed with me this week that about your testimony on Wednesday night, how that our children in the school system are being bullied around because they don't fit in. Folks, let me tell you, not everybody is going to look alike. We're all different. We all have different thoughts and we all have different things that we're pursuing, but it is no right for anybody to bully or try to tear down somebody else's child. Folks, can I put this in? When our school administrators see it, when moms and dads see it, somebody ought to stand up and say it's wrong and it don't need to take place in our school system. And I thought about this as well, that it's no wonder that we're seeing moms and dads jerk their kids out of the public school system and are homeschooling them or sending them to private schools and paying out of the pocket because their child is not deserving of the treatment that they are getting in our school system today. I say every one of them has a right to a good education, has the right to be treated fairly and to be protected so that when they're in the schoolhouse, they're not getting a beat up or harassed. Folks, we was harassed growing up. How many of you was harassed growing up in school because we was poor, we couldn't dress like them, we didn't live in the right neighborhoods? But thank God, hallelujah, mom and dad loved me enough to take me to a church where they spoke about God's love. And one day, as many of you today, one day I went to an altar and I experienced it for myself and not another. And I've come to tell you one more time, God is good and he is good all the time. And when we get to where our children are blessed, they'll grow up blessed and they won't have to fight these battles alone. They brought the children and the disciples rebuked those. But Jesus, did you see that in the 14th verse? When Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Can I go back for just a minute? Any mom and dad that truly loves their children. Becky yesterday told Gavin and Zoe and also Kennedy that they'd be coming to church with us today. And Gavin said, oh. And I said, don't you want to go to church with us? And he says, church is boring. And I said, church ain't boring. I'll tell on you today. You know that by now, right? But you know what? When you get to know Jesus, and I feel the presence of the Lord pass through in the testimonies and the prayer requests, and I feel the presence of the Lord in the songs, and I feel the presence of the Lord come in the message. You know what I say? God can take something that was boring and turn it into something that's entertaining today. I didn't come to entertain you. I come for us to be entertained by the Holy Spirit of God today. When it entertains us, all our problems seem to be so small today. Can I get a witness on a Sunday morning because somebody is speaking blessing over us? I'm 61 years old and I still need somebody to speak a blessing over me today. Some of y'all do that when you pray for us. Some of you do it when you talk to us after church and before church or on the phone. Folks, we never get too old to need God's blessing on our life today. I can't even walk, hallelujah, without the Lord holding my hand and guiding me. And yes, there are days I get down. Has anybody else, sometimes I get down and I don't even know why I got down. Oh my soul, why are those you so disquieted, is what the writer said. And sometimes I get down, but then it's time for me when that happens, Billy, to find a place and begin to talk to my Father. Even though I may be down, He's able to lift me up and give me something to praise Him for. Amen. Amen. This on the other side of my card says, it was not a silent night. He prayed for me and your sins. He paid for me and your sins. Out of a child. This is what gives them hope. This is what gives me hope. When I feel like I can't, I say, Lord, help me. And God helps me. I call upon God from the big things in life. And you've heard me talk about even to the small things in life. Jack, when I can't get a bolt to start on a torque converter, or I can't reach it or I can't find it, I call out to God and say, Lord, help me. Talking to Eli yesterday, and he rehashed the story one more time about when he went hunting and he lost his glasses. He went back a second time and still couldn't find them. Finally, he given up, prayed, couldn't find his glasses, went back the third time, I believe it was, and the dog was sitting there and has his glasses in his mouth. You tell me God ain't real. Amen? If God can do the little things and He can do the big things, where else can I go but to the Lord? Amen. Our children need the blessing over their life. They need to be prayed for. And you say today, what age should I start praying for them? From the time of conception. From the time of conception. Because we're bringing them into a world that won't love them like you love them, Mom and Dad. They won't love them like you love them. And then we can't fight every battle for them. There's places our kids go that Mom and Dad can't go with them. But there is no place that God can't go. Amen? Amen. I don't know, Brad, how old are you, brother? 33. Lord have mercy. 33-year-old. And when I heard his mother shouting in the background, you would have thought he was a teenager. Oh, that'll preach on it. Moms and dads never quit loving their children. We never stop praying for them, no matter how hard it is for what they're going through. We say, God, I know it's hard right now, but Lord, you can bring them through it. I got family and I got nephews. I got cousins that are in deep, deep trouble. And some of them are in trouble because they didn't have the blessings set over their life like we did. You say, did they take you up front and put hands on you and bless you? The church blessed us by their prayers. Amen. Did you know there was people praying for us we didn't even know about? People praying for you that you didn't even know about. And you know, even still, how many of you pray one for another? Raise your hands in the house of God. Y'all so pray, I'm going to preach another 20 minutes or so, but that's all right. We pray for each other. You know why? Because we want God to bless each other in such a way. Lord, take that which the devil set for evil and turn it into good. Oh, take that which the devil tried to destroy and God exalt them to a level like they never dreamed of. Some of us had our whole lives planned out for us. We thought we would be doing this or something else in years to come. And God turned our whole plan around. I never had any idea, nor did I ever want to be a preacher or a pastor. But you know what God said? Roger, your plans have been canceled. I got a new road for you. And today, I say, looking back, it's the best thing that he ever did. Next to salvation, knowing the Lord and getting to work for him. You see, we're not saved to do nothing. We're saved to try to bless others along the journey. God has brought many of us to a height that we never expected to attain because somebody blessed us and somebody prayed for us. And it wasn't just somebody. How many of you remember the scripture where Jesus was about to go away and he said, Father, I pray for them that you have given me. I pray for them, Father, that you will keep them, watch over them and protect them. You know what we say as parents and grandparents? Lord, I pray for my children. I pray for my grandchildren. I pray, God, that you would, just not them, but all of the children in the house of the Lord. And some of you say, I'm old enough to be your dad or I'm old enough to be your grandpa. It don't matter what your age is. We pray one for another that the blessing will come over your life and over our life. You see, if we don't pray for them, who will? Who will? Some of us today have got children that's gone astray. They profess to know Jesus Christ. But can I preach my heart to you this morning? There's a lot of so-called church members that has never been saved. You see, before I ever was a church member, I had salvation. I didn't have to be a church member to go to heaven. Oh, that ain't going to set well with a lot of folk. Church membership won't get you in the door. You know what gets you in the door? Is that you've been to the river and you've been baptized with the fire and the Holy Ghost. Baptism with water won't get you into heaven. You know what gets you there? How many of you remember the walk down to an old-fashioned mourner's bench? And you made it there not because you was who you was, but because there's a God in heaven that loves you and a church that was praying for you. Some of us today, and I'll find a closing place here in a minute, some of us that's got older children, how many of us sometimes look back and say, where did I go wrong? Some of you know I'm preaching the truth to you. Where did I go wrong? If I could go back and redo some things, what would I need to redo? And I've come to tell you this morning, because God's put it on my heart. Many of us was raised right, but we went wrong. Don't blame mom, don't blame dad. It was our own doing because sin reigned in these mortal bodies. It reigned in these mortal bodies. You could have children in your home and one of them turned out to be a saint and the other one turned out to be a sinner. But you know what Jesus said? I died for all. Hallelujah. I died for all of your children, that they might come to know me in the process of time and commit their life and their soul into my hands. How many of you got children that's over 50? Raise your hands in the house of the Lord. How many of you got them that's over 60? Anybody got any that's over 70? And Dottie and Cecil raised their hands with the ones over 60. Dottie and Cecil, do you still pray for them? Amen. Billy, I saw that your granddaughter just turned 16. And you're still praying for her, and praying for her mom, and just praying for all your children. God is not a respecter of person. And I will say this as a parent, there's not one of my children that can stand up and say, Dad loves me more. I love them all the same. Love them all the same. And I speak the blessing over all of them. But you know, sometimes it seems like the blessing is getting to some of them, and one is just not getting that blessing. You say, Roger, don't you give up? No. No. I go back to God and say, Lord, would you move that block that's there? Would you move that stumbling block that's there? That they might see. Mom and Dad loves them, but more than that, God loves them. And Mom and Dad can't fight every battle. But there's not a battle that God cannot fight. How many of us want our children to be blessed? We want them to be blessed. No matter where they're at, no matter how old they are. And I say this morning, that you here in the church, I love your children as well. And I pray for your children. As I was talking to Eli yesterday, and he has such a desire to be in church. And I think, Lord, could you take that desire? Let us speak a prayer and a blessing over his children, that they might have that same desire. You know, Leela and Eli got some that's still not saved. You say, do you really think about them? Mary, I think about your children and your grandchildren. I think about all of y'all today. As I go through, I think about Jings, and I think about all your grandchildren and your grandchildren, Katrina and all of them today, David and the list, just Monica and I've lost your son's name, Kevin. I think about these and I say, Lord, would you speak a blessing over them? I don't want you, Lord, to take them so high that they forget where they came from. But Lord, would you lift them up today? And you say, well, some of them are faring well. They're doing good. Did you know you could have a good job? You could have money in the bank and have everything that looks like on the surface that anybody could ask for. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, you are broke. Amen. You are destitute. You are lacking the most important thing there is today, because there's no peace that can be found. I want to say it one more time. When I lay down on my bed, there's peace, Jack. That if I don't see the dawning of another day, I know where I'm going to when this life shall come to an end. Some of us, and I'll close this morning, some of us have worried ourselves sick about our children. Worried ourselves sick. Let me take you back a few years. Your mom and dad worried about you. Yes. They worried about you. When you was young. When you was immature. When you was out there in sin. Brother Holcomb, you've testified about that. But they did not give up. I've come to preach about it today, that our children need a blessing. They need prayer. And they need moms and dads that's not going to give up. Can I say it today? The cost is too high. The cost is too high. Satan may belittle them. Wouldn't you like to just live in a world where you could just take them in your arms and protect them all the days of their life? But that's not reality. That's not reality. But folks, where you and I can't go, God can walk every step of the way with them and encourage them on the way. You know, and I want all of us to take this upon ourselves. Encourage the children. Encourage the young ones. Encourage the middle-aged ones. And even encourage the older ones. Cecil was talking to me this morning. And he's getting ready to, soon he'll be 94. Is that right? He'll be 94. God's blessed him, has he not? And he said, I forgot how to tie a tie. I said, well, first of all, you don't have to wear a tie. God's not looking at the outside. God's looking at the inside, is he not? And I said, you know, COVID has messed with a lot of our memory. It has. It'll come back to you. Or we'll have to get new instructions on how to tie a tie. See, today, I feel like, in my closing, I grew up in the best of times. When moms and dads loved other moms and dads' children. Yeah. See, I had a grandpa. I remember this till the day I die, I guess. We was all at grandpa's house, and mom was pregnant. And a bunch of us kids got in trouble. His kids, which was my uncles and aunts, which were about the same age as me. Yeah, I grew up with my uncles and aunts, and we were more like brothers and sisters. And we all got in trouble, and he whipped his, and then he gave mom the switch. Yeah, I was switched. And I was belted. And I thought I'd be smart, and I'd get under the table, and mom couldn't get down and get me. But you know who drug me out? Grandpa. He drug me out from under that table, and then mom switched me. We screamed to the high heavens before the switch even hit us or the belt. Yeah. You know why a lot of these kids are bullying today? Because they've never been switched or belt. They've got anger issues. They've got self-confidence issues. They think if I beat up on somebody else, that'll make me look bigger. When reality is, they need to get over their own issues instead of taking it out on somebody else. Amen? Don't let me find somebody beating up on one of my kids. Me and the school board will have a problem. Amen? In fact, I say this, and I'm not advocating that you take your kids and your grandkids out of the public school system. But let me tell you, if you want to protect them, homeschooling or private school. Because in private school, you pay the price, but you're a little bit more protective environment. My grandson that's with us this morning, he goes to a Catholic preschool. Some folks say, I would never say that in the house of the Lord. Well, look at this. First of all, they don't teach catechism. But they do talk about God. They do talk about Jesus, and they do talk about prayer. And before I can cast a stone at him, I have to say, look in the mirror, because I graduated from a Catholic university. You say, that's not... You're trying to mislead people. No, I'm saved as a Baptist from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. But our children need to be brought up in an environment that will respect them as who they are and what they are. And moms and dads, come Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, no matter how boring it might be, need to drag those kids to the house of the Lord, that somebody might speak a blessing over their life. And I say this, and we got some good examples, and I'll close. We got four people back there, sitting there next to each other. And I'll include Mr. Sharp also. That we prayed for these as they was growing up. Sharon, I'm going to take part of the victory. Debbie, Glenn, I'm going to take part of the victory. We prayed for them growing up. And can I get a witness today? We've got some of the finest young adults that there are because they was prayed over. They was words of blessing over them. When they went into high school, we blessed them. When they went away to college, we blessed them. When they, well, one of them got married, we blessed them. When they had children, you know what we did? We started the cycle all over again. Natalie's been blessed. She's been prayed for. And Grant's been prayed for and blessed. And I'm not going to leave mine out because Kennedy and Gavin, Zoe, and Lucas, they've been prayed over and they've been blessed. Some people say they're not yours. They're mine. Yours are mine. And yours are mine today. And you know what? When Lisa said that on Wednesday night, there was anger. Anybody else ever get angry when you hear what kids are going through? And you say, but be careful, Roger. The Bible says to anger and sin not. I didn't get to the point of sinning, but it burns in me. And I think, Lord, can I speak a blessing over her children, her grandchildren, as well as all of yours this morning? We're going to close with this prayer today. A prayer where moms and dads bring your children to the Lord. I'm not saying you take them by the hand. Maybe yours aren't here this morning. I'm not saying you take them by the hand and you drag them to the altar. But your prayer for your children is so important. You speaking a blessing over your children is so important. You know, I've heard of people, moms and dads told their children, you're a failure. You'll always be a failure. My parents never spoke to me like that. My parents were encouraging. But you see, as we live in this society today with children being brought up by a single parent, the stress of the job place, Matt, you and I talked about this before church. The stress of the job place and then coming home and taking care of a home and trying to get the kids' homework done, get them baths and get them ready for bed. The stress is so high that even parents sometimes say things that they shouldn't say. Children, forgive us. Amen? Because we really didn't mean it. But you also know once it's said, you can't take it back. You can't take it back. These kids are driving me crazy. I've heard people say that. These kids are getting on my last nerve. When they ought to be praying, God bless them to behave better. Right? People say, I take them to church, but they won't sit still. I've not seen one kid up and running around today. Have you? And even when we did have kids up and running around, crawling under the pews and acting like the pew was a trampoline. You know what? The Spirit of God came along and it quieted that child down. You say, do you really believe that? With all of my heart. And I'll tell you this and then I'll close. When we went to church, Mom told us when we went in, you will sit still, you'll be quiet. And if you don't, when you get home, you'll get a whipping. And if you misbehave too badly, they didn't wait till you got home. Becky and I went to a church when we was traveling. We went to this church. And when church started, there was two women that stood up by the back door. And they each had a wooden yardstick in their hand. Now, this was a church where there was a lot of family. And it was a big church, a big congregation. They dared a kid to get up. You get up, you will get a whipping. Now, I don't believe in that. I believe in bringing them and letting God take care of them. Don't you? Amen. But today as we close, How many of us are to that point to where we've tried everything we know? We've given money. We've given time. We've given other resources. And instead of things getting better, it's staying the same or it's gone down. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we've seen no change in direction. I'm going to ask us one more time. Take them to the Lord. Ask God to speak a blessing over them as we pray for them. That they would realize there's nothing in this world for them. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We make our living out there. We live out there. But then this is as much as I fabric that lies within me, this is about as real as it gets. I could not even tell you all but maybe one of our neighbors' names. You know why? I just live there. I just live there. I'm not a social butterfly. Some of y'all are. I'm not. Okay? And other than when I'm in the pulpit, I'm a man of few words. Becky will tell you, drive all the way to Florida, 11 hours, and never say a word. That's me. And I can't make any apology for it. I is what I is. Right? But when it comes church time, there's something down on the inside that gets to moving. It's almost like those old hit and miss engines. Some of you guys know about that. Like the old John Deere tractors. You start them up and they sound like at any minute they're going to die. But when you put them under pressure, they just keep pulling and pulling and pulling. Sometimes I have to pull. But other times I feel the push of the Holy Spirit on my life. Would you join us as we go before God, praying for our children and our grandchildren, praying for our siblings. Yeah. When was the last time you prayed for your brother or your sister? You know they need help. They're not trying the way you are. They're trying a different road. But Billy, it's not going to get them there. They may have everything on the outside that looks like it's all good. But down on the inside, that biggest part is missing. I ask you to bring them to the Lord. No song. How many of us are just going to be open with God and say, Lord, my child needs that blessing. My brother or sister needs that blessing. My sibling needs that blessing. How many of you today will do that as God moves and we pray?
Dear Lord, again, we come before you, thanking you for this day and for your word. I thank you, God, that you have spoken so wonderfully this morning. Lord, you spoke to our hearts and the hearts of many others. Thank God that we carry such a burden for our children and our loved ones this morning. God, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know the future, but I know that, Lord, if they only get you, they get right with you today, Lord. That, yes, we still have troubles and trials, but, Lord, you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, so many things that's going on in so many lives today that I cannot change. Lord, this church cannot change it, but I know that you can change it. Lord, I pray for each and every one of them that, God, that you would speak to their hearts. And, Lord, let them realize how much they need you this morning. For, God, without that blessing, without that prayer over their lives, that, Lord, that the circumstance will never change. God, I pray, Lord, from the depth of our heart, that you would just speak to them yet another time. And Lord, for these that are young, that you would watch over them. Lord, and that they would learn about you, and that they would come to the angel of accountability and accept you as their Lord and Savior. God, I pray this morning for so many that are just so broken. Lord, and they feel like there's no hope for them, God, I pray that your spirit will pass by with a spirit of blessing upon them. To lift them up, Lord, and let them know that they are loved, they're cared for. Lord, that they have such a bright future in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God, I pray today for each and every one of my brothers and sisters here this morning. Lord, for their children, for their grandkids. God, that you watch over them and help them, Lord, with the blessing as well that would come to their own life. Go with us this day. Lead, guide, and direct us, Lord. Help us to understand, Lord, your will in our life. For we ask you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. God bless each and every one of you this morning. I pray that you have spoken that blessing, that prayer over their life. And they'll be blessed. And I say this, it excites me to see God bless you and yours today. I do. It's no jealousy there, because when I see God blessing you and yours, I think maybe mine is next in line to get that same blessing. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. Excuse me, Robbie or Terry One told me it's going to warm up this afternoon. So, 53. So enjoy this day. Get your lunch. Get your, we always called it dinner. Get you some dinner. Get you a nap if you need it. And then come back tonight ready to worship the Lord with all your heart. God bless you today. Brad, thank you for sharing this morning your wonderful testimony. I wish that many others could hear that, what God has done for you today. God bless y'all.